Greetings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your speaker is John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas, and I'm going to go along the lines that we have been seeking to bring before you in some bygone messages very recently. In our last message, we spoke to you about love and life and light. And of course, we pointed out that the three things mentioned are resident in the fullest possible way in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the absence of all three is true of each and every son and daughter of Adam's race. Now I'm speaking, of course, of the love of God. And I'm speaking of the life of God, and I'm speaking of the light of God. Then I can go on just a little bit further and say that the love of God and the life of God and the light of God find their expression too in the lives of all who trust the blessed Savior, who receive Him. They have the very life that was in the blessed Son of the eternal God. He could say that I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Just reminding all who hear me that in our natural state, we are without spiritual life. We're in a state of spiritual death. We are also in a state of spiritual darkness without the light of God. And of course, the love of God we know nothing about until it is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God, which is given unto us. Now, I rather think that when we speak of life as it is found in the Word of God, and light as it is brought to us too through the Scriptures, it is very important to notice too that light in the case of the sinner precedes life. In other words, that light that comes from the God of heaven is what reveals to me my true state in nature. And of course, as I see my state in nature truly, then I feel the need of His presence. I feel the need of that life and of that light that comes from Himself. Now, in the first chapter of St. John, our Lord Jesus Christ is brought before us as the one in whom life was. Life was inherent in Him. And it said, all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Oh, how we thank God for the life that was in our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I should like to say just a little today on the subject of life. And of course, when we say life, we're speaking of eternal life. It's possible for a man or for a woman to be very active and still to be without life, without the life of God. Did not the Apostle Paul say, in writing to his son Timothy in the faith, he said, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. In other words, without the life of God, without the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I couldn't think of anything that could be of more interest to my hearers than the subject of life, that is, the subject of eternal life. And you know, the Scripture does speak of it. And everyone hearing me today has a soul that will spend the ceaseless ages of eternity in one of two places. You will spend eternity, if saved, with our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, and because you do have the eternal life that He gives. On the other hand, if you do not have Christ as your own personal Savior, you will spend the ceaseless ages of eternity in separation from God, in outer darkness and in eternal despair. And you certainly wouldn't want that, would you? And I think I hear you say, well, I'd like to know how I can come into the possession of eternal life that's spoken of in the Word of God. And of course, we have to say that there's wrong ideas, there are wrong notions as to how men and women get eternal life. Now, I want to go on record as saying that I believe with all my heart and soul in eternal security. I believe that the life our Lord Jesus Christ imparts to men and women who come to Him, who trust Him, is a life that can never, never be forfeited. Someone said to me over the telephone within the last two or three days, Do you really believe in eternal security? Why, certainly, I said. It's the plain statement of the Word of God, and it occurs again and again. And to be exact, the Word of God in the Old Testament even teaches eternal security. And we had the opportunity of setting before him a number of very important scriptures that have direct bearing on this subject. Now I ask you today, listening in, do you have eternal life? And we're glad and happy to be able to tell you that if you are not sure, if you do not know that you have eternal life, that whatever your thoughts have been in the past, whatever your thoughts may be at the present moment, if you take sides with God, which of course may mean to have to take sides against yourself and against teaching or tradition or a false teaching that may have been handed down to you, but if you would like to know upon divine authority that you have eternal life, we're sure that we could produce today evidence and certainly a foundation upon which you could rest in perfect peace and in security. You see, you aren't asked to rest upon a needle point as a foundation. Oh, no. You have a solid and a sure foundation. Now, I'm going to point out to you in the few moments that I have to speak with you today, and it may only be just a beginning, but I'm going to point out to you why, personally, I believe in eternal security. And I shall say, first and foremost, because of the plain statement of Scripture. Oh, says somebody, would you give us a few passages, as you call it, the plain statement of Scripture? I should be happy to do that. And if you'll listen, I shall call your attention to the Gospel by St. John, chapter 10 and verse 27, which says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, I'd think that one scripture itself would be sufficient for any person to rest his or her soul upon beyond the shadow of a shade of a doubt. Now, I shall call your attention to another that is equally as convincing, to be sure. If you're to turn to the 8th chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Romans and read at verse 35, you'd come across a statement that says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Could you find anything to surpass that? And then quickly, I remind you of another passage because there are a few things further I'd like to point out. St. John 5 and 24 says, verily, verily, or for sure, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation or into judgment, but is passed from death or out of death into life. Now these are a few of the plain statements of God's precious, holy, and his unerring word. Now that's why I believe in eternal security. And then I further believe in the eternal security because of the possession of the Holy Spirit of God. And you might just think of that with me for a moment. We won't have time to look at all these passages, but I do think they're very important. And some other things that I shall point out too as well. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, or upon believing, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. so that we can say, in addition to the plain statement of the Holy Word of God, each believer has in possession the Holy Spirit of God. And as a poet has put it, when to my all I ventured on the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered, and I was born of God. And then, of course, Paul tells us further in the Epistle to the Ephesians that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. And then further, to be in possession of the Holy Spirit of God, or sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, one can say, as was promised by our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, you couldn't find anything plainer than that, could you? True, it's possible that one may get away from God and need restoration. And as the psalmist said in the 51st Psalm, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He did not ask to be saved all over again, but he prayed that the joy of his salvation might be restored to him. And then we believe further because of our portion in Christ. And you find that in the 8th chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. It begins by saying, there is therefore now no condemnation or judgment of them which are in Christ Jesus. That's our portion. We have seen God's plain statement and God's power exercised in our behalf, the possession of the Holy Spirit of God, and then our position in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you today and help you to trust His Son. We'll have more to say about this a little bit later in the will of God. Meantime, drop us a line in care of the Good News, in care of the station that you're listening to, or 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas. Care of the station that you're listening to, or 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas. May God bless you with our prayer.